Are you in need of a passport in a hurry? Look no further. Global Passport Express is here to help. With our efficient and reliable services, we can process your passport in as quick as 7 days. That's right, just 7 days. And that's not all. We specialize in visas for many countries, including popular destinations like China, India, and so much more. Whether you're planning a family vacation, a business trip, or your next mission trip, Global Passport Express is your one-stop solution for all your passport and visa needs. So why wait? Reach out to us today at 210-375-7525 to speak with one of our friendly and knowledgeable representatives. They will guide you through the process and answer any questions you may have. You can also visit our website at www.globalpassportexpress.com. For more information and to start your application online, it's quick, easy, and convenient. Mention this ad and receive 10% off any of our services. Don't let time constraints hold you back from your travel dreams. Trust Global Passport Express to deliver your passport fast, hassle-free, and with a smile. Global Passport Express, your passport and visa experts. Get ready to explore the world.
Welcome to the Taking the Land podcast. This is your home for daily audio sermons from Christian Fellowship Ministries. God has gifted our fellowship with some of the finest preachers in the world, and we want to share.
Thank you. What a wonderful week we have had. Can you say amen? Presence of God, God working, touching our hearts, refreshing us, and I do appreciate all who've come, all of those who are representative of our overseas ministries, and I have greatly enjoyed seeing God raise up workers and work for us tonight. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, if you want to turn there with me, I want to conclude this conference by preaching from a text, Galatians 3, 26 through 29. I had lunch with Harold yesterday, and he said, what are you preaching on tomorrow night? And I said, he just say same thing. You know, that's it. If you preach as often as I do in as many places as I do, there's very little that can be said that you haven't heard something about before. And so, that's an inside joke. Years ago, we had a missionary in Japan, and so he had an American speaker in, and he didn't speak Japanese. His wife was interpreting, and so this American evangelist was, or pastor's ego was out of control, and so he's preaching, and the service goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. And after around an hour, the wife got tired of interpreting it, and she just speaking in Japanese. He'd be preaching that, and she'd just say, he just say same thing. So for 30 minutes, that's all she did. So if it just sounds like I'm saying the same thing, I'm not. I have been fascinated all my life with seeds. When I was a boy, I lived over on Whipple Street, and I would plant bean seeds, beans, pinto beans, and corn, and I was fascinated in watching those as they broke through the ground. I never reaped any crop, but it was just kind of the fascination of seeing those seeds turn into a plant that gripped me, and I remember doing that several times just to watch the process of seed as it was growing. So tonight, as we enter into this text that I'm going to read, we want to think about that imagery of seed, it's sprouting and it bringing forth fruit. And it was Mark who, when he's talking about the kingdom of God, he frames the kingdom of God and the wonderful processes in the words of seed that is planted and a harvest that is reaped because of that. And he frames the gospel and puts it in the form of a mystery. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, 26 through 29, probably one of the most profound passages of Scripture. You can read it very quickly and you can kind of amuse at it, but it has the tremendous, tremendous principle that we're practicing as we're here tonight, but there's a challenge that goes beyond that we want to take with us, that dimension, as we leave this conference tonight. I want to preach to you tonight on seed and God. Galatians 3, verse 26. For you're all the sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, seed and God. First of all, ponder with me for a moment the potential of seed. When you begin to think about seed, we're talking immediately about multiplication. This is the essence of the principle of seed, is the power and the potential of multiplication. And you've heard me say before, any fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God knows the number of apples that are in a seed. Now lock that into your mind. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, 26. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is this: if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and he should sleep night and day, sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. I was in Australia in March in the leadership's in a conference, and we were meeting in leadership meetings just prior to the conference, and Pastor John Perry from Bunbury was in there, and he said, Pastor, if you have a little time in the break, I want to show you something. So when they went to get their coffee, well, I stayed behind with him. He took in his hand, he had four stems of what he said was queen poppy seeds. Now, these were stems, and the seed pods were probably the size of a half dollar, and he broke over one of those, and he took out one of the little seeds, and the seeds were about the size of a fly speck. And he says, now, if you plant this seed, a queen poppy plant will come up. It may have anywhere from 6 to 10 stems on it. Each of them will produce a seed, a seed head like I'm holding here. And he had four of those that he brought, that he had in his hand. Said each one of this will produce a plant that will produce anywhere from 6 to 10 of these stems with the poppy container about the size of a 50-cent piece, they will produce that. He said, that came out of my yard. My wife grows these. And then he took this and he broke one open and he scattered out a multitude of these seeds. And I said, how many seeds you suppose is in one of those heads there? And he said, I would say probably 5,000 seeds are in that. So here, as I looked at that, immediately my mind was triggered, because here we have a tiny seed like a fly speck, God's creation. That tiny fly speck has the potential to reproduce itself 40 to 50,000 times. Now there's profound truth that is there, because the Bible says in Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. Then in Genesis 8:22, after the judgment of the flood, God speaks about this business of seeds, and he said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So here we see now a potential. This potential is beyond grasp, and that potential pertains to you and I sitting in this building. I hope the Holy Spirit is gripping your heart with the understanding of the tremendous potential that God has put in nature to begin to teach us what he can do with one human being, as Joe Camel said on Tuesday night, and him as good as dead. Now, this is beyond our grasp. Look at the text that we have here, because the text is talking about the seed of Abraham. So in the seed of Abraham, we have destiny. In that destiny is all the potential that is possible, and the potential that is encapsulated in that term of destiny in the seed of Abraham. We need to let the Holy Spirit grip our hearts personally concerning that. And just for instance, think of human reproduction. Human reproduction comes from a tiny, tiny microscopic sperm. In human reproduction, that tiny microscopic term has all the features of reproduction. It has the DNA that the parents bring to that. It has the features of personality. It has the personality and gender traits. It has the DNA and much more. All is encapsulated in that tiny sperm. And so here we see this repeated again as God talks to us about the possibility and the potential. We bring to that issue abortion. Since 1963, some 53 million human beings in America have been murdered by abortion, and think of the vast potential that has been lost to the human race and to our nation through the murder and the curse of abortion, but you see the potential there. So here I said in this seed is encapsulated the potential. In the seed of Abraham, for instance, is dominion. It is clearly spoken about. It's clearly grasped. And in Genesis 15:1, as it says to Abraham, these words, and these things the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Encapsulated in the seed of Abraham is fruitfulness. And the Bible says in Genesis 22, verse 17, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In this, it says over and over again about this man Abraham, and conveyed into his seed through inheritance is blessing. Now, blessing is a wonderful word tonight. The word blessing means that there is a conveyance of a divine favor in every element of life. Isaac is a descendant of Abraham. Isaac inherited that blessing that God gave to Abraham, and in a time of famine, when he's seized with the intuition of survival, God says to him, don't go down to Egypt. You don't need to go down to Egypt. You stay here and plant. And the Bible says that when people are dying all around Isaac from starvation and famine, Isaac plants and he reaps a hundredfold because God is able to make the barren ground bear fruit. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That applies to you tonight. Lay hold of this as I'm speaking, because this is the blessing, and this blessing has put powerful ramification. David decided that he's going to bring the Ark of the Covenant up from Shiloh. Saul was only 6 miles from the Ark of the Covenant, and he never even sought it one time, but David decides he's going to bring up the Ark of the Covenant, wherein dwelt the Shekinah glory, the dwelling presence of God on planet Earth. He starts to bring it up. As he starts to bring it up, Uzzah disobeys, touches the Ark, and he falls dead. David gets mad at God. I want to tell you, if you want to get mad, you better not get mad at God. He gets mad at God, and he says, don't bring the Ark of Covenant here. I'm not having it around me, I don't want it here. He's mad at God. He's pouting. How many of you ever pouted? Let me see your honest hand. There's an altar call coming. Amen. Pouting. So they take the Ark of the Covenant to the house of Obed-Edom, and news begins to come that God's blessing, you see, I said blessing is a conveyance of a spiritual dimension that begins to move upon human beings in every element of life. The Jews have a legend, and that legend is that in the house of Obed-Edom, a blessing began to come in multiples of eight. The chickens were laying 8 eggs. The women were bearing 8 babies. The cows were giving 8 calves. And so undoubtedly that's not true, but something happened that was visible from which that legend came. Can you say amen? It was so powerful what David's hearing that he hears about this wonderful blessing on the house of Obed-Edom. And he said, go get that ark. Bring it up here. We need that ark. Can you say amen? Tonight you need to cry out for the Ark of the Covenant to come in your ministry, your personality. This is a blessing that God can give, and he can give to us. Aaron's rod is a great example of this blessing. There's an argument. You know, that there's constantly this, who put you in charge? What do I have to do what you say? Who is this dude? You know, rebellion's in the land. Can you say amen? And so it's as long as history. They begin to say to Aaron, who do you think you are? You know, you make yourself too much. And so said, and God said, okay, no problem. Go cut me 12 dead sticks, one for each tribe, and put Aaron's in there with it. They put it in the ark. And overnight, the Bible says that Aaron's rod budded. It brought forth seed and fruit and leaves. And they came the next morning and they saw when God blesses, God blesses. And it's apparent. Can you say amen? This is what God can do. He can make a dead stick live. Did you hear me, Pastor? Did you hear me, disciple? God can make a dead stick live. Yes, amen. We're talking about God tonight. We're not talking about some genius that we have. We're not talking about some slick program that we have. We are just plain people tonight. But I want to tell you, God can bless us. Hallelujah. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we even ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's what God says tonight. Now I want to talk to you tonight about placing. When you talk about seed, you need to think about placing. Because tonight, as we're sitting here, we are that seed, according to the Word of God. Our lives are that seed. Jesus himself said, the seed are the children of the kingdom. So as in the natural, so in the spiritual, there is a potential that I have spelled out clearly and the Bible reinforces, but that potential hinges upon placing. It has to do with time, and it has to do with location. You do not sow seed in winter. How many of you know that? You don't go down here to the Granite Dells and go up on that crop of solid granite rock and start sowing your seed, because if you do, the birds will eat it. It'll go nowhere. And that's common sense. Can you say amen? So seed depends on timing, and it depends upon placing. You cannot escape this. A little event comes out of South Australia. There came a time in history when they were seized with a moment of insanity, and they developed this doctrine that rain follows the plow. And so they began to plow up acres and hundreds of acres of land with a mistaken belief, if they'll plow the land and put seed in it, then God will bring the rain, and that'll be automatic, and a failure and a bankruptcy accomplish that, because seed depends on location, and it depends upon timing. I've had people ask me from time to time, Pastor, are you going to plant a church in Israel? Every tour that we do, somebody asked me, Pastor, are you thinking about putting a church in Israel? No, I'm not. You don't have any faith? Yeah, I have faith in the Word of God, because the Bible said blindness has happened in part to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile be come in. Until we're finished with what we're doing, they're blind. And I'm not planting churches and pour wheelbarrows of money in Israel, because there's wonderful places that we can plant seed. Can you say amen? So I see three or four of you, hair lift you tonight. You got upset about all of that. So just hang in. There's worse coming yet. Here is a crucial issue. And that crucial issue is placing, and placing in the changing circumstances of life is absolutely essential. In the book of Genesis, chapter 12 and verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I want to tell you, when God deals with you and makes it plain to you, and you try to plant your seed somewhere that God is not going, you're going to have a crop failure. Can you say amen? Because we're involved in a ministry for God. This thing's about God. It's not about figuring out the dynamics, and we're going to do a neighborhood survey, and then we're going to get some hot shot in, and then we're going to... This is about God, folks. Can you say amen? God is at work. This is God's work. So it depends upon placing... And Hebrews 11 and verse 8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. When we announced these workers last night, I shook hands with them. And as I shook hands, you know, I'm an old man. I see lots of things. And I looked at poor little Tabitha. Tabitha, I guess they call her name, and I looked at her. It was like a deer caught in the headlights of a car. I mean, three babies. She's going to take these into China. Doesn't have the slightest clue where they're going, and I could see on her face this stunned expression. But I'm like, God's going to go with them. Can you say amen? God is going to go with them. That's going to make the difference. And so as we ponder this tremendous potential. You need to understand this is not all God and it's not all man. It's very crucial that you understand that, because I spoke Monday night. Some people are waiting. If I get a visitation from God, if an angel comes and flutters his wings, if I see a handwriting on the wall, this is not all God and it's not all man. There's a wonderful blending together for the future. In 1 Samuel 25, 29 through 32, the Bible says, now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me of that same red stew, for I'm weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. Esau said, look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? And so the decisions that we make in life make an effect upon our destiny. Some of it's God, some of it's man. When David was upset about the refusal and the insult of Nabal, and he has his men strap on the sword, and they're going up to give him a haircut right down to his neck here. And Abigail, his wife, Nabal's wife, met him. She spoke a fantastic word. And that word says, David, your life is bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord your God. She go on and speak about his future. But that is a powerful thought. If you'll investigate, it's like a rope. When you see a rope, and that rope is, the strands are all there. These strands are not together. They're separated and woven into that with tremendous strength. And so it is in the business that we're involved in. It's not all God, and it's not all man. They're blended together in a glorious strengthening process for God's work. It's not all God, and it's not all man. And there's a decision that must be made, and God's will has an address tonight. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the land of the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I've given to you, as I said to Moses. So here is enablement. And that enablement has to do with Joshua obeying God, leaving where he was, going to where God had called him to in the time that God is commanding to do that. It's not all God, and it's not all man. Elijah, in a horrible time of famine, when God's judging the land, God says to Elijah, you go to the brook Cherith, and I'm going to feed you there. You know the story? He goes by the brook Cherith. He has fresh water to drink, and the ravens go down probably to the king table every day, collect him up some food, brings it into him, delivers grocery to him. I mean, it don't get any better than that. Can you say amen? Getting excited? That was wonderful. But you see, there came a time when it's time to move on. So how do you know when to leave and when to stay? You see, there's a plan of God, and this plan of God is that God sets members in the body as it pleases him. And God said to Elijah, I will feed you there. So here we have a principle, and that principle is our future rests in a destiny and a place that God has called us to. If the devil can get you to leave your place, if the devil can get you to go to a place that he's not called you to, then he's accomplished half of his purpose. And the book of Proverbs says, like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. So how do you know when to leave, and how do you know when to stay? Well, that's the question, and that question is, it might depend on the dry brook. If your brook is dry tonight, it might be a good sign of several things, but part of it may be that he's calling you and nudging you to leave your place of comfort, because, you know, Elijah's there. This don't get any better than this. You got fresh water. You have safety from King Ahab. You've got fresh groceries every day. Who should leave that? Can you say amen? And so Elijah, being a human being like all of us, he likes the comforts of home. God has to dry up the brook, and he has to seize the free food that's coming. And so when do you go? Well, that's God's business, and yours, not mine. But he has a place, he has a plan. And when there's no more ravens delivering free groceries, when there's no more water running in the brook, it might be a time that God's maybe nudging you, that you might just begin to pray about maybe he's calling you on. I'm not telling you to pull up roots tonight, but you might just pray about it. So let's bring our text now to home. And this is the aim of God's redemption. God's aim in redemption, as it sets in this task, is transformation of human personality and relationship with him and with the rest of humanity through the body of Jesus Christ. There's a fascinating illustration that I want to read to you. This is in the early 1500s. And there was a 25-year-old artist and sculptor, and this sculptor's name was Michelangelo. He labored tirelessly with hammer and chisel over a colossal block of cold marble. Other artists had rejected the stone because it had defects. Does that sound like your disciple? So it sat untouched for several decades before this young sculptor saw something beautiful in it. He worked night and day with obsessive dedication. When someone asked him why he was working so hard on that old stone, now remember, others had rejected this. Leonardo da Vinci had rejected this. Other sculptors had rejected this. And so they asked him why he worked so hard on that stone. He replied, "Listen, because there's an angel in that old rock that wants to come out." I love that. Here's a man with a vision. He has a vision of what could be done with that flawed piece of marble. And as he began to undertake that, he worked tirelessly day and night. When they said, "Why are you working so hard on that?" And he said, "There's an angel in that old rock that wants to come out." Nearly 3 years after starting his work, the young artist Michelangelo unveiled his enduring masterpiece, a 17-foot-tall sculpture that today is known the world over as David. Millions of people go through Rome and observe that masterpiece that is there. I was intrigued by Pastor Campbell's sermon on Tuesday night because he asked you a question as a conference body, and he said, "Would you have planted Pastor Mitchell, a man who had wore a green suit and wore orange socks?" Now, that's not true. That makes me look like a hick. I wore a green suit and pink socks. So here we have the issue, and let's make the application today, because here is a fantastic principle of what can become. And many men who've been to men's rallies and other places heard me say, Christianity is not so much what you are, it's what you can be in God. So here's God, he's making sons. And the Bible says, these sons of God are sons of God that, as far as their standing in God, are complete. And when the finished work is, they will be complete. And 1 John 3:1-2 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we're the children of God. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he's revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Romans 8:29, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." So let's think about this. In a conference such as this, it is a wonderful dimension. We've had a glorious spirit. Can you say amen? And in a setting like this, it is quite common. People are moved, I mean deeply moved, by God. And we're thankful for that. And we deliberately aim for that. Can you say amen? This reminds me, years ago, I had a man that caught me, and he says, "Pastor, could I speak to you just for a second?" I said, "Sure." And so he said, God spoke to me, and he says, "What's going to happen in the fellowship is that Pastor Warner's going to be removed, and I'm going to be put in the pastor of that, and this he doesn't even lead a Bible study." Looking back, I'm not sure he was even saved, but anyway. And he says, "You're going to put me in there. This is going to cause a lot of problems in the fellowship, but God spoke to me. I just want you to know that that God spoke to me." And, I really am a kind man. Most of you don't understand it. And I restrained myself. I think, "Well, glad to hear that, brother. Well, we'll pray, you know." So he'd been eating loco weed. In conferences like this, people get eaten loco weed sometimes. And that's not evil. We want to inspire you. But there's an old saying that comes to me, and that old saying is, how eager are those to go whom God never sent? How hesitant, slow is the chosen instrument? So let me feed that into the mix of what we have here. So what we're dealing with is beyond the present, and we're beyond the temporal. And the Bible says very clearly that the issue tonight in a spiritual dimension is errors of an inheritance. Think about that for a moment. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So here we've already talked about dominion. We're the seed of Abraham. Being a part of the seed of Abraham is dominion. We are the seed of Abraham, and the Bible says very clearly that being a part of the seed of Abraham means that there is a powerful potential that is there, and that powerful potential is that we have dominion. We are to rule and reign in the spirit world in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And not only that, but there is a glorious position that is given to us that shall be fulfilled when the trumpet sound. Listen to Ephesians 1 and verse 11. In him, that's Jesus Christ, also we've obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father, has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Now, this is a powerful imagery. Inheritance tonight means that there's something that is stored up for us that we did not earn. That's what inheritance is. Something that is stored up for us that we did not earn, that we're going to inherit because we're the heirs of God in faith in Jesus Christ. And it means that we enter into that and we enjoy that because it comes from our Father down through Abraham, who's the father of our faith. Philippians 4 and verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to God and our Father be glory forever. Amen and amen. So here we have now the will and the testament of God. And that will and testament of God lets us understand that there's an inheritance. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? And the Bible says this is our inheritance. It is fruitfulness. It is dominion. It is a glorious blessing in every element of life that touches every facet of life. And we enter into that, the Bible says, by faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord, Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, to the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ said, heretofore you have asked nothing in my name. Now ask that your joy may be full. He said to the disciples, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Listen to my words. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord, and that is accessed by faith in Jesus Christ. So often we find people caught up in methodology. They think that having this kind of methodology, having that kind of device, having this kind of equipment, being in this place or that, this is the key. I want to tell you that it is a spiritual arena that we're in, and that spiritual arena is entered, accessed by faith in Jesus Christ, and that's the key. Now tonight, I have no doubt. Let's just imagine this. Here, here as we're sitting in this tent here. We're planning to invade China. Amen. We've been contemplating Africa, launching workers into it, and we're contemplating this. So let's just imagine now the devil. They're having a little meeting up in heaven, and his crowd. And so Satan said, what are they doing tonight? Well, they're talking about invading China and Africa and Japan and all those places. They all break out. Yeah. Who's preaching? They say the old dude with the green suit and the pink socks. And they say, well, no problem. We know him. He's a hick, you know. I love this. Pink suit and a green suit and pink sock. Thank God I was in a suit. I'm not sure. I might have been the only one I owned in those days. And you can almost hear the demons cackling and laughing at the fantastic personalities that we have in this this conference, and looking down and say, oh, it's unbelievable. They're talking about China, they're talking about Japan, talk about Africa, but a voice comes to the back, wait, I remember you mocked them before. This is serious business they're in down there. The old dude in the green suit has changed into a black suit. He's got gray socks on. And gathered before him is probably 25 or 2,600 people that believe what he's saying. Can you say amen? That believe what he's saying. And if they get a hold of what he's telling them, it's going to be bad news for our business in the foreseeable future. Can you say amen and amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Seed and God. I am the seed of Abraham's offspring. Hallelujah. I am a believer in Jesus Christ, who the Bible says is the seed of Abraham. And in Jesus Christ, my Savior, I become the inheritor of all that is involved, all the potential, all the encapsulation of dominion and of a vision and of Holy Ghost life and of possibilities and of divine power rests within that term, because I'm an inheritor as a believer in Jesus Christ, who is the seed of Abraham. I want every head bowed. I want every eye closed. Seed.
Thank you for listening to the Taking the Land podcast. If you made it to this point, that means you're probably hungry for more sermons. This free version of the podcast only posts 4 messages per week and an incomplete version of Testimony Tuesday. If you're tired of missing out, then please check out the premium Taking the Land podcast, linked in the show notes. For only $3 a month, you'll get interruption and ad-free listening experience, early releases every day to start your day right, sermons will appear in your feed by 6 a.m. in the U.S., full versions of Testimony Tuesday, International Thursday, and Study Day Saturday to ensure you have daily messages to satisfy your soul, access to the premium subscription WhatsApp group, now with over 75 fellow subscribers from around the world. Finally, the best reason to subscribe, all proceeds go to world evangelism. We don't take a dime. Last year, we gave over $5,500 to support missionaries all around the world. Until next time, we wish you Godspeed as you pursue His will for your life wherever you are serving Him. Keep taking the land. Pastors, disciples, ministry leaders, how many visitors have you lost track of in the last year? Don't you wish there was a better way to stay in contact with people who have visited your church? Like it or not, text messages are the way people communicate today. Some stats to consider: 90% of people prefer text messages over calls. 90% of texts are read within 3 minutes. 45% of text messages get a response. We want to share a solution that our church has started using with great success. It's called Text in Church. Born out of a church plant, the Texan church creators know what it's like to struggle to get the word out and make meaningful connections with members and guests. More than 35,000 church leaders use this platform weekly to boost attendance and deepen relationships. This is a great solution to help people connect with their churches in a simple, meaningful way. When you use the link in the show notes to create an account, you'll get an instant $100 credit toward all future services. Why not give it a try? Start a free trial using our exclusive referral link below. Texan Church is the number one texting software for churches to make your community feel known, noticed, and loved.
Is your church in need of a brand new flyer design? You're in the right place. We're here to help. My name is Eric Pizarro with Advanced Creative Design. We are offering all listeners of this podcast a 10% discount off their very first order. Feel free to send us an email at advancedcreativedesign23@gmail.com. Also, make sure you mention in that email that you heard us here on this podcast. Our website will be up soon, but in the meantime, we will be glad to help. God bless you all. We look forward to working with you. Make it a great day.
Hi, I'm Mike Ashcraft, pastor currently in Van Nuys, California. You could go to just any financial professional, but not every financial professional understands the idiosyncrasies of fellowship pastors and church members. We don't need cookie cutter solutions. We need solutions for pioneers and for laborers who put God first. How can you get your money to make money for you so you don't have to work so much and so that you have more time for ministry? And how can you take care of your family in the event of a tragedy? Call me today. The consultation is no charge. I'm at 310-403-6471. That's 310-403-6471.